The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Aubrey and I are thrilled to be joined for a little bit by Melanie Rayner. Melanie is the Director of Women's Ministry at Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And we want to talk to Melanie about an article that she co-wrote at the Gospel Coalition called Why We Should Return to Church. Melanie, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. And Melanie, before we jump into this article, which I think is so timely and so important, could you just introduce yourself to our audience so they can get to know you a little bit better?
Sure. My name is Melanie Rayner. And as Brian said, I am the Director of Women's Ministry at Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville. I've been on staff here for almost 2 years, and it's a great joy to be on staff here with the awesome team that we've got. We have 4 locations. My background is I have a master's degree from Covenant Seminary, and I worked in Christian publishing for a long time before moving over into vocational ministry, and I absolutely love it.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic, Melanie. Well, we wanted to talk to you, like Brian said, about your article, Why We Should Return to Church. And Brian and I are both pastors, so this is a passion, a point of ours. And one of the things that you talk about in this article is kind of the other side of the argument, which says, hey, you know, we're choosing to worship in spirit, not in person. If Paul worshiped from prison, we can worship from our TV screens or from our phones. And isn't it easier to be present in church when we're online rather than in person? And you answer really emphatically, no, we need embodied worship. And so we would just love to hear more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the impetuses for writing this article was dealing with my own and my co-writer's own experiences during the pandemic. So what about church became sweeter by being at home? And what did we end up missing? What are the things that left us wanting more? And so why did God create this innate longing in us to gather with his people and worship his name? And we felt like scripture offered so many indicatives for that. And so our imperative is to gather as the church. But I think about, like, back in the early days of the pandemic, you know, we were recording our church services on Thursday to show on Sunday. And Sunday mornings became this really sweet time with my family. I have 2 young kids, 2 young girls, and Sundays are normally anything but a family day, right? Like, because we're running around and we're getting ready. And as pastors, you guys understand, I get up at the crack of dawn and I leave and I see my kids and they show up at church. And all of a sudden, Sunday mornings were slow. And we made pancakes every Sunday and we sang together. And it was just this very sweet thing, but something was missing. And so as soon as the church doors opened, we were back, and so many of our friends were back. So what is this longing that the Lord had created in us? Even though we can worship, we did worship, we participated in the life of the church from a screen, but it didn't feel full. It didn't feel complete. God placed this longing in our hearts to be together as the communing body of Christ. So that was a lot of what we wanted to explore.
That's really good. Melanie, we're all reading statistics. As we told you off air, both Aubrey and I are pastors. And here in Illinois, things are kind of behind where you guys are in Tennessee. So we're kind of at the front end of reopening and all of this stuff. But all the statistics we read, or we heard Craig Rochelle said this week out in Oklahoma, that kind of across the board, people are slow to come back. And I wonder if, you know, if only half the people are coming back at this moment or whatever else, why do you think that is? What does that say about kind of the perception people have had of church and why people are feeling, quite frankly, comfortable not going back right now?
So I think there are a couple of things at play there. I think there are there is this amazing opportunity to be re-engaged in the world. And so I know from our congregation and from friends, you know, everyone is traveling and they're seeing family and friends that they haven't seen in 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by its very nature of being a weekend activity, I think that people are doing things on the weekends that they haven't been able to do and seeing people that they love and doing those things. But I think that somewhere in, you know, in our sort of Western individualistic perception of our relationship with Christ, it's become, well, what am I doing with Jesus? Hmm. So am I worshiping? Am I doing my devotions? Am I reading my Bible? And so how do we remind people or teach them for the first time that they gathered worship as a body, that engaging in community are critical pieces of our Christian walk when so much has become individualized because of sort of quiet times and those sorts of things that we grew up with. You know, how do we teach people that the gathered worship is the central expression of our faith and of our walk, and it has been for centuries. And so I think there's a retraining and a reteaching, but there's inviting people into the sweetness of that we have to, our lives should revolve around church. Church shouldn't fit into our very busy American lives.
Mm. That's so good, Melanie. I heard a really popular sort of, you know, author, speaker, podcaster recently who kind of was saying she wasn't going back to church because nature had become her church, or her front porch had become her church. And I kind of was like, no, that can be where you meet God. That's not the church. The church is the, you know, this embodied group of people who are practicing sacraments and following Jesus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which I love. I love the fact that you're talking about in this article. For our listeners who may be in that frame of mind, hey, I don't need to go to church because I'm connecting with God, on Sunday mornings with my husband when I take a walk, or, you know, in my living room with my kids. You've touched on this a little bit, but what would be your encouragement to those people to maybe take a step back into Christian community?
I would say that your relationship with God is central, right? It should be the most important relationship in your life. But as part of Christ's incarnation and as part of the way that God created the local church, it was for us to be in community. And that is this, like, one of the most beautiful gifts that the Lord gave us is Christian community. It's in being the body of Christ. And Paul talks about this all of the time. And a body is made up of many parts, which we know. And that when we're all together, there is a community that is built, and you will lean on that community in ways that you don't even see now. And so your relationship with God may be a beautiful, flourishing thing, but the community that he has given you and that he is calling you into is his way of working in the world, in your life and in the lives of the people around you. So when you remove yourself from Christian community, there is an imperative that scripture gives us that we're missing. And the fullness and flourishing of God's people looks like being together.
Again, Melanie Rayner is the director of women's ministry at Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville. Melanie, before we let you go, where can people connect with you? Social media or wherever else? Maybe they want to read these articles. Where can people find you?
Oh, they can find me at melanie-rayner.com or on Instagram and Twitter. And then a lot of my work comes through Christ Presbyterian Church, which you can find at christpres.org.
Yeah, and people might recognize the name of that church. Our friend Scott Sauls is the lead pastor there at Christ Presbyterian Church. And you can tell Scott that we still quote him all the time on our show.
I will.
We are grateful for him. Melanie, thanks so much. Such an important article, something the church is really going to have to wrestle with here as we come out of the pandemic. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.